Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Here we are, it's the last day of 2017. We made it! We did it, yeah! Tomorrow we start a brand new year, and you know, whenever a new year happens, there's lots of new hopes, right? New dreams. We think about making new changes. I don't know, maybe you're thinking this year about going back to school or a career change or getting married or maybe moving to a different city. Don't move to a different city. A new year just kind of gives you this feel of a fresh start, which is why a lot of people make New Year's resolutions. But maybe you've made some in the past and you didn't keep them and you kind of like got to a place where you're like, why bother? Which I get it. I saw an article by a guy who's very cynical about New Year's resolutions. He said, I'm going to start a gym called Resolutions. The first 2 months of the year, it's going to have exercise equipment and then it will be turned into a bar for the remaining 10 months. That could make a lot of money. Someone needs to actually do that. You know, many of us are skeptical about New Year's resolutions, and we may even just dismiss them altogether. But check this out. There's a guy named Dr. Norcross. He's a professor at Stanford University, and he studies resolutions for decades. And he followed these two different groups of people for years and years. One group was made up of people who decided that they were going to make a change, and they started the change just whenever. The other group were people who wanted to make a change, and they started the change on January 1st as a New Year's resolution. The first group who did not connect their change to New Year's, 2 weeks later, only half were still doing what they had committed to. After 6 months, only 4% were still living out the change. But the second group who started their new commitment on January 1st, 2 weeks later, 71% were still living out the change. And after 6 months, 46% were still living out the change. It turns out the New Year's resolution group was 11 and a half times more likely to keep and stay committed to their change. Maybe there is something powerful about new and about making commitments, especially this time of year. And so I wonder what it is that you want to be new in 2018. Maybe you want to be more healthy, or you want to take better control of your finances. Maybe there's a character issue you want to work on. Maybe you want to be closer to your spouse. Or it could be that you want to be closer to God. Maybe you've had thoughts about, man, 2018, I want to read the Bible more consistently, or I want to pray more, or I want to start volunteering and making a difference with my life for God. What change do you want to make? What might God want to do in your life in 2018? I've actually spent a lot of time in the last week kind of reviewing my 2017 and creating some goals for 2018 and just thinking, what things do I want to be different next year? But what do you want to be different next year? What do you need to decide to commit to today to put you on the right path to get there? So one thing I find interesting about God is if you read through the Bible, you see him repeatedly kind of honoring new, asking people to make commitments, and when people make commitments, he would design physical items or events or celebrations to mark and celebrate those commitments and to make it memorable that the people had actually made a commitment. We see it throughout the Bible in different ways, but today I want to show you one very significant way God does this. I want to show you actually a time when Jesus did this, but it's something that God asks all of us to do as well. So we're going to be in Mark chapter 1 in the Bible, and just to give you a little bit of background, at this time, the place where we're going to look at today, Jesus is about 30 years old, and he had not yet announced that he was the Savior, the Son of God. He had not yet performed any miracles. He had not yet chosen his disciples. He had not yet preached a sermon, okay? And before Jesus, this guy named John comes on the scene, and John seems like kind of a weird cat. Check out Mark chapter 1, verse 6. His clothes were woven from coarse camel hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. For food, he ate locusts and wild honey. John seems like a cross between Lady Gaga and Bear Grylls. You know, he was kind of dressed weird and he lived alone out in the wilderness and ate weird food. But then John actually starts preaching to people. Verse 4, this messenger was John the Baptist. he was in the wilderness and preached that people should be baptized to show that they had repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. So John tells us that he wants people to be baptized to show that they had repented. Now, repent is not a word that we use a lot. What does it even mean? It was actually back then a military word, and it literally meant about face. So you might see a bunch of soldiers lined up, and the commander would yell, "Repent!" And everybody would just turn around because the word means about face, to turn direction. And throughout the Bible, God tells us that he wants us to repent, to turn around. It's like so often in life we get distracted from what really matters, right? So often in life we find ourselves going in the wrong direction. How did I get here? We didn't mean to, but here we are. And so we're not focused on what matters, or we're not moving in the right direction. We're doing wrong things we shouldn't do, or we're not doing the right things we should do. And when you get in that moment, you get frustrated and you feel maybe like a failure, and it's like, what do I do? And God says, you repent. You turn around. You change direction. You turn away from whatever it is, and you turn to God. You make a decision that I'm not going to keep living this way. I'm going to change. And we all have something we need to repent of. And I think the end of a year is kind of a great time where it's like, okay, where am I in life? Right? Where do I want to go? Do I need to change directions? God wants us to repent, and I said he typically tries to create a marker to make it memorable, and God has a way of kind of honoring and celebrating a commitment to repent, and that way is baptism. Baptism is a spiritual ceremony where a person is lowered under water, then raised out of water. And it says that John was baptizing people, and then look what happens next, verse 9. One day, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. Now, you might read that and wonder, why? It doesn't make any sense, does it? Why would Jesus need to be baptized? He doesn't need to repent of his sins because he never sinned, and he doesn't need to turn to God because he was God. Well, this account is also in the book of Matthew. There's four books that chronicle Jesus' life. Matthew's another of them. And Matthew tells us that John actually tried to stop Jesus from getting baptized. When Jesus shows up, he's like, "Nuh-uh, you don't need to be baptized. In fact, I can't baptize you. You should baptize me." And look how Jesus responds in Matthew 3:15. But Jesus said, "It should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires." So John agreed to baptize him. What Jesus is saying is that getting baptized is the right thing to do, so I'm going to do it. Now, did he need to? No, he didn't need to, but we do. It's the right thing to do, and so Jesus did it, I think in large part, to set an example for us to follow. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, that Jesus came leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. So, why is baptism the right thing to do? Well, because God has made a commitment to you, and he's asking you, and he deserves for you to make a commitment to him. And because in baptism, your relationship with God becomes official and forever. And because baptism marks your commitment, it honors and celebrates and makes your commitment memorable. Years ago, I met this girl named Jennifer, and eventually we were friends, and then we started dating. This was back in 1992. I was 4 years old then, if you want to figure out my age. But what if I told you that, yeah, we met, we started dating in 1992, and here we are today, 25 years later, still dating. Been dating for 25 years. I think you would say, dude, commit already, man. Like, she deserves more than that, right? Like, do you want to be with her or not? And you'd be right. But that's not what happened. When I decided that I wanted this relationship to be official and forever, I told her that I wanted to commit to her and to our relationship, and I asked her to marry me. And for a moment, the universe stood still. It was silent, and then she uttered a word that shocked the world and disappointed her parents. She said, yes. It was time. It was time to move out of just dating and out of being able to easily break up and out of being able to see other people if we wanted to. And so we made that commitment, and we went through a ceremony, kind of a beautiful ceremony, a wedding. And we took vows, right? We made a promise. I will be faithful for the rest of my life. This is forever. And in a very similar way, we now have that to look back on, right? Like we have rings, we have pictures of that wedding. It's memorable. We remember that day we took those vows. And in a very similar way, if you're not new to this God thing, one of the things that's great about Verve is we get people who are like, I have never been to church in my life. I'm just checking it out. If so, welcome. You came to a safe place. But if you're not new, if you've been kind of believing in God for a while, kind of in a relationship with God for a while, I think it'd be fair to say to you, dude, commit already. Like, do you want to be with God or not? Because God's committed to you and he deserves more than that. Do you want your relationship with God to be official and forever? God deserves that. And when you're ready to do that, you go through a ceremony. It's this beautiful ceremony that God made called baptism. In baptism, the water flows over you, which symbolizes a spiritual cleansing, almost like all your sins are being washed away. In fact, the Bible says in Acts 22:16, and now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. In baptism, you also get lowered under water, which symbolizes your desire to bury your old life without God, to put closure on it. And then you get raised up out of water, symbolizing this resurrection into the new life that God's given you with God. Check out Romans chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Since for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. And so it says in baptism, you're united with God. In baptism, your relationship with God becomes official and forever. Baptism also marks your commitment. It makes it memorable. And man, we need that. Like in a relationship between two people, it's easy to have your eyes out for other options and just, you know, to walk away if things aren't going well in the relationship. But when you go through that ceremony and get married, it makes it more difficult. Yeah, sure, you can still cheat. Yes, you can still leave, but it feels different, right? It feels wrong. It's more complicated. It's harder because you made a commitment. You've been united in this ceremony. And it's similar with God. It's interesting. In the Bible, when people are tempted to cheat on God, when people are tempted to just, you know, hey, let's just sin and don't worry about God, or when people are tempted to just walk away from God altogether, what they're always told is, remember your baptism. Remember your baptism. Almost like if you were counseling a friend, a married friend, and you said, no, you can't go see that woman. You have a wife, dude. This person you live with, it's not your girlfriend. She's your wife. You can't just walk out. You're married. Remember? You remember the ceremony, the church, the rings, the preacher? You took vows that day. You promised to be faithful. You got married. So we just looked in Romans chapter 6, verses 4 and 5 at what the Bible says about baptism. The context of this chapter in this book called Romans is that the Christians in Rome were thinking, wait, I figured something out. So if God forgives us all of our sin, why don't we just sin a lot? Like, let's just keep on sinning, right? We're Christians. He's going to forgive everything we do, so let's just keep on sinning. Well, let's go out on New Year's Eve, praise the Lord, and pass the Cuervo. And the answer that they get is, no. Don't you remember you closed the doors on that old way of life? It doesn't make any sense for you to live that way anymore. Remember your baptism. Check it out. This is the very next verses. Romans 6, 6, and 7. And it says, for we know that our old self was crucified with him. When did that happen? The previous verse said, in baptism. So that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. And you can read the verses that precede and follow. And the whole idea is, no, you don't go back. You don't go back to sin because you've been baptized. So you don't look for other options. You can't just walk out because you're not dating God anymore. You got married. That's what happened when you got baptized. Don't you remember that? That ceremony you went to through, like, you took vows. Things change after that. You put closure on your past. You proclaim, you committed to God that you were putting that behind you. And so in Mark chapter 1, we see Jesus say, hey, I need to get baptized because it's right, because God requires it. Why is it right? It's right because God deserves for us to make a commitment to him. He made a commitment to us. And because in baptism, your relationship with God becomes official and forever. And because baptism marks your commitment and it makes it memorable. So Jesus gets baptized to leave an example for us to follow. Look what happens next. Verses 10 and 11. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. And there are a few, like, pretty amazing things that happen here. When Jesus is baptized, he received the Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit is God's presence with and in people who have invited God into their lives. This was the beginning of Jesus' mission to go out and bring, like, love and hope to the world. And he could not do that mission without the Spirit of God. And he received the Spirit of God in baptism. In the same way, we cannot do life, and we cannot live out God's mission for us without the help of the Holy Spirit. And in the same way, we are told in the Bible that we receive the Holy Spirit in baptism. Look at Acts 2:38. It says, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Also, when Jesus was baptized, God affirmed and applauded his decision. God yells out from heaven. He's like, yeah, you're my son. I love you. I don't know where that came from. He didn't sound like that. Accent was weird. But God affirms Jesus' identity as his child in Jesus' baptism. Same is true for us. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. It says, for you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and all who have been united with Christ, when and how does that happen? In baptism, have put on Christ. Now, God may not shout out loud from heaven, but make no mistake, you are his child. God also says to Jesus when he's baptized, he says, you're my child whom I love. He declares his love for Jesus in that moment. And I remember back when I was baptized, like how loved I felt by God. And God says, with you, I am well pleased. God was applauding what Jesus did that day. And when you're baptized, the Bible says a party breaks out in heaven. One more thing. I bet when Jesus was baptized, it left a mark on everyone there. Like the people who were there that day who got to witness Jesus getting baptized, this dove coming from heaven, hearing God's voice out loud, I'm sure they were marked by getting to witness it. And when we get baptized, it impacts not just us, but other people as well. Like the people who were there that day to witness it, but also even people who aren't there, but at some point learn of the new commitment you've made to God and start to see the changes that begin to happen in your life. So here's my question. If you have not yet, are you ready to get baptized? Are you ready to make that commitment to God? Are you ready to make your relationship with God official and forever? To make your commitment and mark it and make it memorable through baptism? If so, that's perfect because, coincidentally, we're doing baptisms next week and you can do that next Sunday. Like, that could be your day. If you believe in God and you accept Jesus as the forgiver and leader of your life, but you've never been baptized, why don't you do it next week? Or if you have been baptized, but you look back and you realize that wasn't your decision. Like maybe you were a baby and it was cool that your parents wanted to do that for you, but you didn't have anything to do with that. Or you were like 10 or 11 years old and in your church they had the kids take a class and at the end of the class they're like, now it's time for you to get baptized. You're like, okay, I'll get baptized. Or maybe a bunch of your friends were getting baptized. And you're like, I don't want to be the only one who doesn't. So you did it because your friends did. Listen, if you have not been baptized because it was your decision, because you wanted to make a commitment to God, why don't you do it next week? It could be your day. And man, what a cool way that would be to start 2018 by having that commitment to God. And if you're interested in that, you can sign up at the Velcro Bar today. And you could either say, I'm in, or you could say, I got questions. Could you answer them? And we would love to just walk with you through that and help you. Let us know. But what if, like me, you've already been baptized? You're like, well, I already did that. Well, then we need to grow our commitment to God, and we need to grow our relationship with God. Like, what if I told you, so my wife and I got married 23 years ago. Since we got married, we don't go out ever. We don't celebrate our anniversary. You'd be like, dude, why? Why did you even get married? Like, that's not why you got married. You didn't get married to get married. You got married to have a relationship, right? Exactly. And you don't get baptized just to get baptized. You don't get baptized just because it's the right thing to do. You don't get baptized just to go to heaven. You get baptized to have a relationship with God, to get this new life that you're going to live with God, to live in that relationship. So, if you've been baptized, if you've given your life to Him, what do you need to do in 2018 to grow your relationship with God? What do you need to do to better live out your commitment to Him? I know some of you are thinking, well, that's why I come to church. That's I'm here. But maybe there's more. I want to give you kind of a visual illustration of this. I asked a couple of people to come up and help me with this. So I've got a piece of rope or two, and this rope is 100. Take your time, guys. Take your time. Nope, you got to come up on stage. Here you go. This rope is 168 inches long. So if you can come right where this rope ends, that'd be awesome. Thank you, Becca. So that rope is 168 inches long. Do you guys know what you have 168 of? Hours in a week is the answer. You have, just like I do, 168 hours every week, okay? So let's say that you say, well, yeah, I want to live in a relationship with God. I want to grow my relationship with God. And that's why I come to church. This tape is 1 inch wide, so it represents 1 hour of your 168-hour week, right? And so if you go to church, let's say on Sunday morning, you kind of start your week off right, you do that, and that's your commitment to God. Let me ask you this. If that's the investment you make in your week, does that look like you're going to grow? Like in anything, right? Like if you said, 2018, I want to get in really good shape, I'm going to be really healthy, that's how much time I'm going to give to getting healthy. You're not going to get very healthy, right? If you said, I'm in college now and I want to get good grades, that's how much time, that's what my investment in getting good grades. You are not going to get good grades, right? Like you don't grow with a 1 hour of 168 hour investment. And so it's not going to happen. Here's the problem. It's actually worse because a lot of us, the truth is, we're not in church every single week. Maybe we go one out of every 2 weeks. Like, you know, stuff happens. Sometimes you're out of town, you don't feel well, your kids got something going on. And so this is my 2 week span. And maybe I only go to church once out of every 2 weeks. So let me ask you this. Does that look like a plan for growth? Like if that's your investment in your relationship with God, is that someone who's going to like grow and feel closer to God and feel like they know God's will for their life and feel like I have intimacy with God, we're doing life together? No, it's not, right? And so again, what do you need to do in 2018? Let's say you decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to spend time with God every day. Like I'm going to get up in the morning and spend a half hour maybe. Like I'll read the Bible for 10 or 15 minutes, pray for 15 minutes, something like that. And so you're going to do that, let's say, five, 6 days a week. So that would be 3 or 4 hours a week, right? And let's say that you also decided, you know what else I'm going to do? I'm going to join one of those Verve groups. You guys are always talking about that. You get together, you make some friends, you talk about God a little bit. And so I'll do that. That's an hour a week. And maybe I'll volunteer. And maybe, I don't know, your volunteer may end up being an hour a week. Who knows? But remember, we're doing this every week, right? And so this is not going to work. All these tapes are going to get taped to my fingers. We're in for tragedy here. So you start spending time with God about a half hour a day, maybe 6 days a week or so, and you get into that group, and tension, I need tension. Thank you. And you start volunteering. Maybe that's an hour a week. Now, let me ask you, does this look like somebody who might grow? Right? Like if you make this investment in your relationship with God or in anything, does this look like somebody who could actually take off in 2018 and start to experience it like a better life, really experience the new life that God has for him and feel like I'm really living in a relationship with him? I think so, right? Like if this is your plan, I'm like, I'm going to bet on you. I'm going to bet that you grow next year. Let's hear it for our volunteers. Thank you guys so much for your enthusiastic participation in that. That was awesome. You can just drop it. I know, that's fine. Cool. So again, what do you need to do in 2018? What pieces of tape do you need to add to your week? What time do you need to invest in God so that you can actually grow in 2018? I'll give you a few options. It may be something else, but here's some things to think about. Maybe 2018 needs to be the year that you read through the New Testament of the Bible. The Bible is divided into two parts. The New Testament is the part when Jesus shows up on earth, and then we read all about Jesus' life for a little bit, and then you read all about the life that God has for us with him. And so when you read the Bible, it's not like reading a history book. Like, God wants to speak directly to you through it. If you ask him to, you will. You'll feel like, man, that was exactly what I needed to read today. Man, that spoke to me. Man, that hit me. That answered my question. That's how you grow a relationship, right? Communication. Like, you can't grow a relationship without talking, and God talks to us through the Bible. So every year we put together a Bible reading plan, and every year, if you do it, you read through the entire New Testament just by reading on weekdays. So if you just say Monday through Friday, I'm going to read, it's one chapter a day. One chapter will take you, my guess is 10 minutes. One chapter a day, just weekdays. You can take weekends off if you want. You'll read through the entire New Testament. If you'd like to read on weekends too, there is weekend reading, which is parts of the Old Testament. And I'll tell you this, you need to do this. Like, if you want to know God and love God and know God's will for you, you need to do this. I've been a Christian for 27 years. I've read through the New Testament at least once every year, all 27 of those years. That's how I've grown. Like, you need to do this. So we have this website, vervecatalyst.org. If you go there, the reading will be there for today's reading. Tomorrow's reading is going to be Mark chapter 1, and we're going to start from there. And every day there's some study notes for you and some questions to help you apply it. If you subscribe in the top right corner, put your email address in, it will get delivered to your email inbox every morning. So you have that reminder. There it is. Man, that would help you to grow for sure. Another thing maybe you could consider is to start volunteering. God says that every Christian should volunteer in their church, that he gave every person strengths and ability and a unique personality so that they can contribute and make a difference in their church and be part of the team and part of making something bigger of their life. And so if you'd like to start volunteering in 2018, we'd love to help you with that. You can use the connection card on your seat and let us know, and we will contact you and help you to do a first serve, which means you're not committing for life. You're going to commit to serving one time just to kind of kick the wheels and decide, like, is this a good spot for me or not? And we'll help you to find a spot that fits your schedule, that you enjoy, and that you can be good at. You can use the connection card or the Verve app for that. Or maybe 2018 needs to be the year that you start tithing. God is super clear in the Bible that our money is actually his money. We think it's mine, right? Like, this is my paycheck. God says, no, it's his, and he lets us use it for a while, but he asks us to give some of it back to him so that he can use it to change the world, to bring his love to the world. And so he suggests that we start at 10%. And God says, do this in obedience to me. Like, if you don't do it, you're living in direct disobedience of me. But listen, we don't do it because we have to. That's not a good reason. We do it because we get to. Because, like, God has been so generous to me. He's given so much to me. Like, it's an honor to get back a little bit to him. And when I give, man, it breaks the grip that greed tends to have on my heart. And we find ourselves becoming more selfless and generous and loving people. When we give, it helps change the entire world. But the first one it changes is me. By giving, I am changed. I don't know. What kind of commitment do you need to make for 2018? Like, how will you grow your relationship? How will you better live out your commitment to him? Think about this. So here we are, right? It's December 31st, 2017. I wonder if you look back to 2016, December 31st, have you changed? Like, if you could look back at this year, do you feel like, yeah, I love God a lot more. I know God a lot more. I know God's will for my life a lot more. I feel like we've really lived life together. If so, man, doesn't that feel awesome? It's like, this was a good year. Like, I grew this year. This year was special. It was important. I'm moving somewhere in my life. But if not, if you think, man, I don't think I've grown much. I don't know that I love God much more than I did a year ago. I don't feel closer to him. I don't really see much progress. I feel like I'm basically the same. I don't feel like I'm making more of a difference with my life. And I've had years like that. I understand. But that's sad, isn't it? It's like I just had a whole year and I didn't move forward. Like that is sad. And I do not want to have another year where I just stay in the same spot. So let's make 2018 a year where we say, you know what? I'm not going to grow by mistake, right? I need to make a commitment. So today I'm going to make a new commitment that will allow me to grow in my relationship with God and what he wants for my life. So what does your commitment need to be? I don't know, but I do know if you make one and you do it, you will be so glad you did. You know, we said earlier in the Bible, it's this interesting thing. When someone makes a commitment, God says, build a tower. And they build a tower. And he says, remember the commitment you made today. Or God says, get baptized. Or God says, I want you to throw a party every year to remember what happened on this day. He's always doing something to remind people so they won't forget the commitment they made. And we wanted to do that for you. We wanted to help you kind of have a way to remember the commitment I'm hoping that you'll make this morning. So on your seat today was a postcard. I don't know if you noticed it. It said, hey, me, because it's a postcard from you to you. And on that postcard, on the backside, there's a place where you can write the commitment that you want to make, whatever it is, for 2018. The idea is you're going to fill in that postcard today. You're going to leave it here this morning. You can put it in one of the white offering boxes on your way out. And we're going to put a stamp on it and mail it to you in a few months. Just as a way that when you get it, you're going to be like, oh, yeah. Hopefully, you'll be like, been doing it. I'm good. Thanks for the reminder. Didn't need it. I've been doing it. Or you might go, oh, crap. I haven't been doing it. But okay. It's a new day, right? God, give me a new day. I'm going to start again today. So we will mail that to you. We will pay for the stamps. If you want to fill that out, leave it in the offering boxes on your way out. And hopefully that will be a good reminder to you of this commitment that you want to make so that 2018 is better than 2017. So we're going to give you a little bit of time now to just pray about the commitment that you want to make so that you can decide and maybe ask God, what would be the most important thing I could start doing next year? Is there one thing, maybe two things? During this time, our band's going to play one more song. And during this time, we also have communion available. Communion is on the candlelit tables around the room. It's a piece of bread and a cup of juice that represent Jesus' body and blood given on the cross for us. You know, last week we remembered Jesus' birth, and today we see Jesus getting baptized, but the reality is that Jesus came to earth to die. Like, his whole reason for coming was to die on a cross so that we could have this relationship with God that we're talking about. And so in communion, we remember the sacrifice that he made, the commitment he made to us, and it's a chance for us to thank him and to recommit ourselves to living for him. So I'm going to pray. And then we're going to give you a chance to pray, to fill out that card if you'd like to do that. Don't worry, we're not going to be like letting anybody know. Like, we're not going to be like, hey, everybody, look what Becca decided to do this year. But we will send that to you in a couple of months and a chance to take communion if you'd like to. So let me pray, and then we'll give you that time. God, thanks. I thank you for whoever was the one who thought of calendars, because there is something. I mean, in one sense, it's like tomorrow's a next day, just like every other day is a next day. But there is another sense that having the end of a year is just this great chance for us to stop and to reflect, to look back at 2017, to ask ourselves some questions. Did I grow? Is my life better? Did I just kind of waste a year? And if we realize, I think I kind of wasted a year, it's a great chance to say, all right, well, tomorrow's a new year, and I'm not going to do that again. I refuse to. My life is too important, and my life is too short, and my God is too good to waste a year of my life. And so next year, I'm going to move forward. And I think, God, with your help, one way I could do that is by reading the Bible every day or whatever it is. So God, would you help us to listen for the commitment that we need to make to have some discernment in what it is that we need to do next year to make next year better than this year and to grow in our relationship with you. God, thanks for that. Thanks for communion as a reminder of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And I pray all these things in his name. Amen.